saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we break down what is a wild weekend of boxing. We have 3 different cards going off. We got Showtime, DAZN, Top Rank. You got Shakur Stevenson in action. You got Sebastian Fundora in action. You have 2022 Fighter of the Year. And for some people, Bam Rodriguez in action, and a lot of really good undercards. And maybe, possibly, we're getting Spence Crawford, but don't hold your breath. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Inside Boxing Live, episode 221. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am your host, Dan Kenobi. I'm joined every single week by the former WBO 140-pound champion, current full-time boxing pundit. Just came off the set of Pro Box. This guy loves talking boxing. He probably talked boxing in his sleep. Hello, Chris.
I mean, I've been dreaming boxing in my sleep since I was about 9 years old, so... makes sense that I'm now talking in my sleep.
Yeah, man. How's everything going? How's where are you? Tampa?
Yeah, Tampa this week. It was good. Called the Joshua fight on Saturday with my boy Todd Grisham, which we spoke about. And then, I got San Antonio this weekend for Bam.
Traveling, man.
Yeah, headed out on Friday.
It's kind of cool you can get so much done in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, since the pandemic, Florida has been kind of like a lot's been happening here, and fight sports is really like we were the first ones to open up. Like UFC yes. came down here first in Jacksonville, so yeah. I call it the United County, the free United Counties of South Florida.
I'm jealous because I feel like there hasn't been a lot of big fights in New York with Barclays. That deal with PBC have with Barclays, I feel like it's gone, evaporated, because we were getting like one every 2 months at least at PBC events at Barclays. That's gone because I think the guy that was running the Barclays Center, Yarmark, one of the twins, is no longer there, and he's a big boxing fan. So a lot of the fights are leaving. They're going to Texas. They're going to Florida, which is good for fans outside of New York that can see big fights. There is a fight this weekend in New Jersey over at Prudential Center, Shakur Stevenson. He should fill up that arena pretty well. It's a lot to get to. This is a very, very busy weekend in boxing. Before we get to our breakdowns of some of the fights, Spence Crawford, did you see this? Ring Magazine put out a report that the fight is happening June 17th. And it's funny because boxing fans are so numb, like me included, Optimist today and whatever you call me. I was like, nope, not falling for it. not getting me. Like, I put my neck out there way too many times. November 19th, I was told that was when the fight was going to happen by a very good source, and Crawford went rogue. I'm not believing this, and I know you're not either, or maybe you are.
No, I'm not. I've been speaking about it with everybody over here at Pro Box, and even Crawford himself, he's tweeting, it's April Fool's, which, you know, that was
annoying,
but. Yeah. You know, he likes to play with our emotions. Like, you know, he says he's going to jump up the middleweight at one point. You know, he's a character. He likes to mess with us. So, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, me neither. June 17th, it was supposed to, the report from Anson Wainwright says that the fight's going to be announced at Davis Garcia April 22nd. I'm hoping they wouldn't just plant that to get some more excitement around Davis and Garcia, which I don't really think maybe needs that, because that's a pretty big fight on its own. There are a lot of reports out there from reporters that I respect, not saying I don't respect Anson Wainwright, but you know, Dan Rayfield is saying no, not happening June 17th. Mike Coppinger hasn't said a single word. Chris Mannix says that they are still talking the camps, and I've heard that Keith Thurman has been told to look for other fights, and Alexis Rocha is planning for other fights. So that's good. So maybe it does happen. Maybe this just doesn't happen June 17th. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Crawford takes a some type of fight beforehand. So does Spence. Spence hasn't fought since last April 2022. Crawford, you know, fights once a year now too. I mean, we talked about this so many times in the past. Like, do we want them to just fight right away, or do we want them to get tune-up fights, which could potentially make the fight not happen, but at least the product might be better because they won't have such ring rust.
Yeah, I want them to have fights in between, honestly. I think I don't like to have guys who are inactive go right into mega fights with each other. They're both inactive. It's not like, you know, it's not like one guy is and the other guy isn't. So at least it'll be fair in that sense. But I just think it just stirs everything up better for the fans and the marketing if they have a fight and a win going into the fight. Like the old school day. They're like, put them on the same card. Send one to the other fight while they, you know, they fight and sit ringside and be in the background. Like that's, you know, that's
that makes too much sense, Chris.
Feel like, yeah, exactly. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, we've done this forever, but now nothing works anymore. So,
I mean, if we waited this long, and you might as well wait a little bit longer. I don't know if they went right into it next, and it was like sometime in the summer or fall. Obviously, we're gonna watch, and I'm gonna be excited about it. I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm not. I would not be excited about this fight if it gets made. But this is like what they. This is how. You know, boxing fans were treated. They could dangle fights like this. They could, you know, could have Crawford have this total disregard for fans' emotions by tweeting out April Fools and just messing with us because he knows when push comes to shove, when the fight gets made, you know, we're all going to be watching. I will say that it might drive
more people. You and I included.
It might drive more people to illegally stream it. That's not a discussion I want to go too far into, but. You know, like I feel like with Davis and Garcia, I know a lot of people have said, I'm buying that fight. Like, I want to support that fight because they're two young guys putting it on the line. And I don't want to deal with all that, even though it is a lot of money. But that's the latest headlines in the sport. Spence Crawford rumored for June 17th. I don't know. Who knows at this point? Let's get into our fight preview. So what I decided to do, we got three main events this weekend. We got Showtime in action, DAZN, which will be on the call ahead in San Antonio. And then we got ESPN over in Prudential Center with Shakur Stevenson. Put out a poll on Twitter asking everyone which card they are most excited for. And the Shakur Stevenson one, 38% said Stevenson. Oh, actually, it was a tie.
Hmm.
No, 38.3% said Stevenson. 38% said Bam and Gonzalez. Two really good cards. So, according to that, we'll start with Shakur Stevenson. And what I want to do here, where are my notes? We're going to break it up into four categories for these main events. Why you should watch, one burning question, prediction, and what would be next for the winner. And with Shakur Stevenson, it's pretty easy why you should watch, right? He's amazing. He's one of the best talents in the sport. It's his first fight at lightweight. Listen to this. 19 pro fights. Stevenson has outlanded his opponents 1,915 to 636. That's a 3-to-1 ratio. He's fought 127 career rounds, and he's only been outlanded 3 rounds out of 127 career rounds. And like, I don't want to say he doesn't have – I don't want to hear he has a bad resume, man. He fought Oscar Valdez. He fought Jamel Herring. He's fought Jamel Gonzalez. Like, he's got a pretty good resume if you take a look at it. That's the reason why you should watch. Tell us why you should watch Stevenson Yoshino.
Because I literally think Shakur Stevenson is the future of the sport. I think he's going to be one of the best fighters in multiple weight classes for a decade or more to go. I mean, the guy is super young, he's super talented. He doesn't get taken any damage. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, wow, his fights are boring. Man, stop that. It's the sweet science. Hit and don't be hit. He does that well. I don't think his fights are boring at all. I mean, he's definitely a stylist. You need to be able to pay attention. He's a technical fighter. But he does things in that ring, and he steps up when he needs to. When he fights the guys that, you know, you expect to give him trouble, he's even better. So, I don't know. I am very, very bullish on Shakur Stevenson. So, that's why you should tune in.
I 100% agree with you. I'm also bullish on him. I think he's a pound-for-pound number one type of fighter in the making. Just has to get the fights. Hasn't really gotten the fights yet. He did get the Valdez fight. You know, I've said this about Stevenson in the past, and it's not his own fault. Like, doesn't have that clear rival. Like, you know, like Ryan Garcia and Gervonta were circling each other for 45 years. 45. It seems like 45, but 4 to 5 years where everyone is asked, you know, that fighter's being asked about it and vice versa. You need a rival. You need a dance partner in the sport. You need that natural guy, and he doesn't have that yet. He'll probably have it at 135, which his fight is at. It's his first fight at 135. He struggled with the weight, obviously, at 130, had to relinquish his belts. And also, I wouldn't say struggle down the stretch against Conceição, but didn't stop Conceição. Many were looking for the stoppage. We talked about this after the fight, that some guys, you've said this pretty well, like some guys like being a knockout puncher is a, can you say it's more of a mindset, right?
Yeah. More of a mindset and approach than actually just being able to hit hard, because he could have stopped Conceição that night. I mean, he was building towards that and kind of pulled off the gas a little bit. And not for anything that Conceição did. It was just, maybe it could have been conditioning because of the weight, like you said, but maybe it's just the mindset that he just doesn't have that mindset or that gear to put your nose on the line late in the fight to get the stoppage. But no, he's physically strong. He's big. I think he's going to be big for 35 too. I don't think it's going to be like, a boy versus a man in there at all. So yeah. And I think this is a good move for him. And I think we're going to see him at 40 and 47. He's that good.
He tried to get fights with William Zepeda. Zepeda turned it down. Isak Cruz turned it down. George Kambosos turned it down.
Well, that makes sense. Isak Cruz, though, that's a fight. I like that. I mean,
I love Isak Cruz, the fighter. Him as his business team is just like, they think he's like Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya, combined. Like they're managing him like he's this megastar because he went the distance with Gervonta Davis. Let's see the guy fight. Like, when's the last time he's fought?
Gervonta Davis with a broken hand, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like we like you. You know, you're a fun, ferocious fighter. And you got the Mexican blood, so you got a huge fan base behind you. Not saying that, but they pricing him out of fights, and or hit that whole saga he had with Ryan Garcia. It's like, dude, get in the ring with some big names while there's still some heat on you.
Yeah, you got to fight. You got to fight. I guess what you got like that.
That's something you did beautifully in your career. It's like when there was heat on you after you beat Provodnikov. You had a lot of fights out there. So you took Pacquiao, then you took Khan, then you took Errol Spence. Like you have a small window. You got to go after it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, opportunities don't arise like that often in this sport. And I say that all the time to these young guys, like, you're passing up these opportunities when they're right in front of you. And depending on who you are, and Isak Cruz is not one of those guys who's been built from the ground up, to be here, like you got those opportunities may pass you by. And on top of that, a guy in his style, they don't last that long. So you got to take advantage of what you got in front of you now.
Yeah, good point. Like that come forward type of style, like, 40, 50, 60 punches around. So Stevenson, it's not like he didn't try. So shout out to Shuichiro Yoshino, who's going to be behind the eight ball from the start, like first fight in the U.S., going up against a guy that can barely be touched. Yoshino definitely deserved it. He beat Masayuki Ito, and then he beat Nakatani. Throw 72 punches.
Knocked out Nakatani.
Yeah, knocked out Nakatani. He's tough, man.
Very tough.
Maybe a little past it, but he did give issues to Teofimo, and he was in a fun fight with Lomachenko. Like, he's been in there with some good names, but in those two wins, Yoshino has thrown 72 punches around, 30 jabs around. Tall guy. I'll be shocked if Stevenson can stop him. I think that's the burning question, right? Like, we have one burning question for every fight here. For me, the burning question is, how will the power translate to 135, and how will Stevenson perform as a full-fledged 135-pounder fighting other 135-pounders?
The question for me is, what is going to be the fans' reaction when he doesn't stop him and he tunes this guy up for 12 rounds? And it's going to be a clean sweep. I called the fight with Masayuki Ito and Yoshino, and Ito's a good fighter, but really not made for 35. And that was really the difference in that fight, because he was very much in that fight, got his nose broken early, was bleeding all over the place, but was landing good, tricky shots on Yoshino throughout. Mm-hmm. And it was just really the size and the pressure of Yoshino that really won him the day in that fight. But I don't see him do anything. He doesn't do anything better than Oscar Valdez. I'll put it that way. And he's less explosive. So the only chance he has is that Shakur is just going to be, like I said, man versus boy, and you got a real 35-pounder in there. He's going to be physically strong, but I don't see that either. So,
yeah, it's going to be a very pro-Stevenson crowd. Obviously, it's in Newark. It's his hometown. I like Stevenson on points. Obviously, I think you do too.
Same.
Unanimous decision. Will he get outlanded in any round?
No.
Okay. Streak goes on. It goes on to another 12 rounds onto that. So it would be 3 rounds in 139 rounds. Actually, I'm good at math. What's next? What's next for Shakur should he win, Chris? I think they should revisit Kambosos. Top Rank. I'm pretty sure he's still with Top Rank or with DiBello, that whole, situation. I like that fight. I predicted that a while back. I was like, oh, Kambosos may not want to take that because he might want to get in win column. And I'm pretty sure he's coming back for a tune-up fight. I forget where. and who, but why not take another payday? Like, I'm sure Top Rank will pay handsomely for Cambosos to step in there with Shakur next.
I think we may see, I'm going to go with a bold one, we may see Shakur and Lomachenko next.
Win or lose?
If Lomachenko beats Haney, which I don't think he will, Haney's going to move up to 40 to 140. Belts are going to go back out there, and then we're going to have Lomachenko and Shakur probably this year. And if Haney, I mean, if Lomachenko beats Haney, I still think Haney's going to move up. He's going to say, you know what, wait, I lost because of the weight. Let's not stay here any longer, and I'll move up. And then you got Shakur fighting for all the belts against Lomachenko. So it might not happen right away next, but I see that down the line pretty soon.
That would be something, huh? I mean, that takes a lot of thinking and like mental gymnastics real quick. I'm trying to think about, okay, who's that? Who's fighting who? Yeah, I could see Haney beats Loma, and he relinquishes all the belts, goes to 140. Yeah. That leaves it, and that would, Top Rank's probably really rooting for that, because Stevenson then can wiggle his way in. Lomachenko at that point, it depends on how Lomachenko loses to Haney. I think it's going to be a close fight no matter what, where he's not too damaged and his reputation isn't too damaged. But Stevenson, Lomachenko, I would sign up for that. I mean, that's one of the title fights. I mean, that would be very, very fun. I think that's what Shakur wants. He's making it no secret that he wants a Lomachenko, and that would be awesome. Like, it's time to see Shakur in some of these bigger fights, and win or lose, Lomachenko is one of those names. Obviously, I would love to see him against Haney at 135. That's like your ultimate matchup.
I don't see that fight happening. I don't see that for those guys fighting at least for a long time. But it could happen down the line, and it's probably up in, you know, in the 40s when it does happen. But yeah, I don't see that anytime soon.
All right, let's go over. We'll get to the undercard too at the end. Let's go over to our other second main event. Bam Rodriguez, Christian Gonzalez. This is over in San Antonio, Texas. You should watch this fight because it's Bam Rodriguez. He's another great, outstanding talent in the sport. He was probably finished second in Fighter of the Year behind Bivol last year. Fought three times last year, and now he's fighting at 112. And this is for a vacant WBO flyweight title going up against Christian Gonzalez. Gonzalez is rated number 2 by the WBO. Is on a 9-fight win streak. Tall, 5'7". He's going to be much taller than Bam Rodriguez in there. I mean, you really don't have to sell this one too hard. I mean, whenever Bam fights, I'm watching.
Absolutely. Bam was 1B. For Fighter of the Year last year in my book. So he's he's an awesome fighter, really, really, really talented young guy, puts on exciting fights too. And again, you got this guy in front of him who's also young and hungry, and you know, he's tall, and the kid fights. He's talented. I watch some of his tapes. So I think, you know, there's no reason not to with Bam, like you said.
How will Bam look at 112? I think this is his natural weight, right? Do you agree?
Yeah, so this is definitely much more of his natural weight. But yeah, how is he going to look? How is getting back down after spending a year above and whatnot? I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. He's young, you know. It's not like he's in his 30s moving back down a weight. I mean, he's a young guy. But I'm just not sure the power is going to be the same. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes the distance in this fight. Because, you know, going down isn't necessarily, everyone always thinks, oh, well, you're going down, you're going to be stronger. Well, you're not actually going to be stronger. The guys are going to be a little bit smaller, but I think this kid's younger and hungry enough that he'll stay in there.
That's crazy. Because I think, not crazy, but I think Bam TKO late. I think he, like, we've seen some of his other fights last year, and maybe not like that one punch power, but man, with the angles and those punches you can't see coming.
Yeah.
And he's just getting too much. His angles are awesome. What's that?
His angles are awesome. The way
there's that one
angles.
Clip of him, like the highlight where, was it against Quadras, where he slides, slips back, lands a shot, and knocks him down. That's one of the cleanest highlights. Like, that's up there with like a Roy Jones type of highlight reel.
Yeah, I mean that was the fight that like really showed the world who he was, and he knew that was his coming out party. And then to be able to do those kind of moves at such a high level, forget it.
Yeah, this guy's the real right deal. There. I like him TKO late. What are the odds right now? I'll have a parlay out. I've been red hot with my Yankee picks. they got me hosting this Yankee pregame show for Talking Yanks on the JM network. And we have to make picks before and drafts and all this. And I'm riding a hot streak right now. And I definitely want to keep it going.
Just like we were talking about those young fighters, you gotta ride those hot streaks, man. You gotta take the opportunities when they're there.
Right. Just keep betting until my mortgage is gone and I'm living on the sidewalk. And then go to the
ATM and get some more and then just keep going.
Yeah, I can always move back in with my mom and dad at age 35, right?
Yeah, come on. It's cool. It's the Long Island way.
It is the Long Island way. Where is this fight? Jesse Rodriguez. It's weird when you see his name is Jesse Rodriguez. I forget that his name is Jesse. Right, you ever call him by Jesse?
No.
It's Bam. It's a great name. It's one of the better nicknames in the sport. Bam by KO minus 145. Bam by decision plus 120. Over under is set at 9.5. I will take a deeper look at that. Stevenson is a minus 1600 favorite. Over under 10.5 to plus 230. Stevenson, let's see Stevenson by knockout plus 220. If he's gonna get it, it's gonna be a late stoppage for Stevenson. And then Fundora minus 1100. I mean, these are some big odds. What's next for Bam? Should he win? You see this? Sonny Edwards just signed with Matro. Yep. That's huge.
Huge, and that's
Sonny Edwards, Bam Rodriguez. Yeah, Sonny Edwards, Bam Rodriguez is a huge fight for two little guys. At 112, that's pretty much why Matchroom signed Edwards. Edwards is a really good talent, but he's been kind of hidden, fighting all these strange platforms, and who knows whose money he was taking for a while. But now he's with Eddie Hearn. Love this. I think they'll build towards that. I don't know if it's next, but I think they will build towards a Bam Rodriguez, Sonny Edwards fight at 112 unification.
Yeah, totally makes sense. I'm sure both guys want that fight. All the little guys always want to fight. They want to make that money. They want to get out there. So that perfect bread. Fight. Makes sense. I agree.
Going on at flyweight. Sonny Edwards, IBF champion. Julio Cesar Martinez, WBC champ.
Love that fight too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's with Matchroom, right? Or some capacity.
Yeah. If he can make
Artem
weight.
Dalakanian is the WBA champ. McWilliams Arroyo, that guy's never gonna fight again. It's Sonny Edwards, it's Julio Cesar Martinez, and it's Bam Rodriguez. Those are the three guys at flyweight that we want to see fight each other. And that's the thing with these lower weights, they do fight each other. You're most likely gonna see those guys get in the ring. So that's what's going on in San Antonio.
I see them all fighting each other. I think they'll go round robin. I mean, why not? They're all in the same place. Again, yeah. If Martinez can make weight.
Let's see if Gonzalez can give Bam some rounds. I liked what I saw from Bam, obviously, the first two fights of his 2022 Quadras and the Rungvisai wins. But the last fight, Israel Gonzalez, pushed him to the – to he was in control, but, man, he took punishment. It's a big reason why he didn't fight again to end the year. So we'll see if this 5'7" Gonzalez can push it, and maybe I will take the over in this one. But also – I think Bam's going to win TKO late. What's your prediction?
I got decision. I think Bam is going to – I think Bam's going to run away with it in the last half of the fight. But I think the kid's going to be in there tough in the beginning. And, you know, Bam does get hit sometimes. So, but I think Bam's class is going to show, especially as the fight wears on. And I just – like I said, I think the kid is young and hungry enough to get by.
Our final main event, this is over on Showtime, The Towering Inferno, Sebastian Fundora. We have some fun nicknames this weekend. We have some fun. These are three young fighters in our main events this weekend. Just happens to be there on three different platforms. But that's the nature of the sport. Bam Rodriguez, Shakur Stevenson, and Sebastian Fundora, all under 25 years old, 25 or under. Fundora's taking on Brian Mendoza. The reason you should watch this one, because Sebastian Fundora is 7'12" and he weighs 41 pounds.
The exaggeration is excellent.
I interviewed him and I honestly just did something where I hate what people do is where they legitimately only look at him as like this freak show that can fight and he hates it. So I apologize to Sebastian Fundora for that. He's 6'6" and he's 154 pounds.
Yeah, which is, you know, he's freakishly tall. I hate using that word too, but yeah, but he can fight. He can really fight, and he likes to fight on the inside. He's not like a long range guy who wants to, like, you know, stay on the outside. He wants to get inside and bang. And he's a good body puncher. He's got great uppercuts. Yeah, he's a fun watch.
He proved in the Lubin fight that he's more than like, hey, look at this guy. He's so tall and so skinny. He proved his worth in that Lubin fight. Yeah. Big time.
What a performance.
Oh my God. And now he's just waiting. Like a lot of 154. I don't know if you saw this. Charlo Zhu is not going to be next because Charlo's hand is not healing as fast as he thought it would. I think they told.
We spoke about that. Remember we said about hands. Hands take time.
I learned a lot from you.
You never know.
Learn a lot from your hands. I never punched anyone ever.
Really?
Maybe. I gotta think harder. Went to West Virginia University.
How many Yankee games you've been to? You never punched anybody?
No, I'm a pretty good fan. I usually will watch and videotape it so I can post it and get the likes.
You're not a hooligan. You're not a hooligan though.
No, I was always my role was always I would instigate fights, and then I always you know, my boys were bigger than me. I'm not the biggest guy, and then the fights would start, and I'd just be like, oh shit, what did I start? The mouth.
You slide out the back
I'm the mouth. I'm the mouth, and then bring in the muscle. Yeah, so that was growing up. Fundora, love this guy. I love watching him fight. He says that he's trying to become more of a boxer and use that really long reach. Like, he has the reach advantage over everyone at 154, but loves to fight on the inside. It's so strange to watch. It works for him. I've asked him about it, and he said, I just like to fight on the inside. I like to bang. Like it. Someone's gonna cut that snippet out. But he likes to bang. He's a banger, and he's gonna probably do that with Mendoza. He always says he goes into every fight, I'm gonna throw my jab, and I'm gonna box behind my jab, and then he ends up in a phone booth.
Yeah, I mean it's that old saying. I went to a boxing match and it turned into a brawl, and that's that's just what it is. I mean, he doesn't really have another speed, and that could be his discipline. That could be just he's not that good at boxing as he is punching, and he doesn't, or just his mentality. But either way, I mean, if he wants to have a long and healthy career, he's got to use that length. Why not?
I don't even know his reach off the top of my head, but yeah, he has a ridiculous reach.
I think it's 80 plus.
It's got to be over 80. Plus. And
yeah,
I think he lands two jabs around. Like, it's like one of those where 90% of his landed punches are power shots. Makes for really fun fights, but longevity, who knows with this guy? Because every fight he's in, it becomes like a dogfight. And that's my burning question for this fight is, can Fundora separate himself from an inferior opponent? He's better than Brian Mendoza. Like, he should be able to win this fight going away. So, but is he going to allow Mendoza to get on the inside? And there, are they going to just sit there and brawl in the center of the ring, which is fun for us, but not for the longevity of Sebastian Fundora?
Yeah, I think, even though Mendoza is not as talented, he's a physically strong guy, but I would like to see Fundora use that length, maybe break up Mendoza a little bit early on, and then afterwards, or later in the rounds, turn into a brawl and try and get him out of there. But you shouldn't go right at this guy. Everyone hits hard in the first couple of rounds, so might as well use your jab because you got it.
Yeah, let's see Fundora make a statement. That would be nice. I like Fundora on points. I think he'll turn into one of these home booth types of fights. Maybe he has moments where he's such a jab more because he really is reiterating that. In the lead up for this fight, as for what's next for him, should Fundora get the win, how about a fight with Brian Castaño? Haven't heard much about Brian Castaño in a while.
Fun fight.
Charlo losses, or yeah, the draw, then the Charlo loss. Not sure what he's up to these days, but still top five at 154 in my opinion. Fundora's top five. I think Fundora's third. I have pretty sure everyone has Zhu. Well, maybe Fundora in front of Zhu and Charlo number one. Castaño's in the top five, so I would like to see Fundora Castaño. If Castaño doesn't want that fight, then maybe Charles Conwell. And he's a pretty tough guy, 154. Those are some of the bigger names. There are other guys ahead of Conwell, I think, in the pecking order, but a Fundora Castaño fight would be explosive. That would be fireworks.
I love that fight. But listen, Fundora better work on his boxing before that one, because Castaño is in your face and he throws combinations. He is a rough cat. And yeah, you don't want to fight that guy in a phone booth, even if you're Fondora.
So I love that main event over on Showtime. Some fun fights this weekend. The undercards are fun too. Jared Anderson is in action, taking on George Arias. George Arias is a local New York guy, probably called five or six of his fights for Broadway Boxing. He looks like Mike. I think they call him the Dominican Mike Tyson. Doesn't really fight like Mike Tyson, but he's short, stocky, heavyweight, and has good movement. Who did he upset? He beats Cassius Chaney. Do you remember that? You know that guy?
Yeah, no, Cassius actually was down here in Florida. I hang out with him a little bit. Came to the gym a few times.
Arias upset him on Triller sometime last year. So he's now put into the ring with Jared Anderson, who was a beast. I mean, Jared Anderson's the guy. Yeah. He's our guy. I mean, this is the guy. This is you're
not,
worth
not
tuning
giving
in
you
to
no
see
favors.
Next, right? Congrats, George. You had a big upset. Here's Jared Anderson, who is taking guys out left and right. Guys that we thought would go around, like in his last fight. Jared Anderson is the reason you watch this fight is to watch the next great American heavyweight.
Yeah, exactly. He is an absolute destroyer. And Top Rank, doing what Top Rank does, they move their prospects perfectly. And, you know, this is a step up, a big step up. But nothing I don't think Jared Anderson can handle.
I was asked a question on social media. Do you think Jared Anderson could beat Anthony Joshua right now?
It's easy no, I'm going to say no. I think he has the talent to. Yeah, I would say he has the talent to, for sure. But he's seen nowhere near. Listen, Anthony Joshua is still a top tier heavyweight. He's just not exactly what he used to be. And yeah, no way. It's too much too soon. There's a lot of gaps and a lot of leaps you'd have to make for that.
Yeah, it just shows like the nature of like social media, and it's like a snowball piling. And all the takes pile up. It's a big, giant snowball. And all those takes were that, like, Joshua didn't fight well, this, that, and the other. But he still can box. And he's still, I would say, top five heavyweight. Anderson will get there, though. Like, how long do you think before Anderson is in there with, like, the top guys? Like, how fast will Top Rank move this guy?
I think they're going to pump the brakes on him a little bit, let him develop a little more. Because it's one of those things, heavyweights, you got to be undefeated. You can't risk catching a loss on there, and he needs to be tested too. You can't just blow everybody out the way he's been doing it, and then just jump into a big fight like an Anthony Joshua or something, you know, along those lines. So Top Rank's smart. They rush guys, but they rush the guys because they are the goods. But at the same time, they like to pump the brakes and make sure that their investment is going to come to fruition.
And they need this. This is the next big thing in the heavyweight division. He's American. He's brash. He's bold. He's got a great personality. He's the neck. He's next in the heavyweight division. He's highlight reel knockouts for Jerry. Highlight reel knockouts for Mr. Anderson, and that last fight with Jerry Forrest, who I thought was going to give Anderson some rounds. I mean, Forrest fought like had the worst game plan ever, standing and trading with Anderson. But Anderson took massive shots in that fight. Like, he's willing to take one, and we talked about this afterwards. Like, really the best plan when coming up, like, don't take punishment if you don't have to in the heavyweight division. But I think Anderson's like, frigate, I want to highlight real knockout. I'm going to stand in the pocket and trade.
So I've heard about stories about him in the gym, and he's got like phenomenal head movement and defense. And then on fight night, I've been watching him get hit by journeyman his whole career, like hard. And I'm always like, I don't like that for any young fighter. I really don't like that for heavyweights. I don't care how good you are. Everybody's chin at heavyweight is suspect. Because
sure.
The guys are just, they're just too big and they hit too hard. It only takes one punch.
Right.
So you know, maybe hopefully as the competition steps up, he starts to be minding his P's and Q's a little more. And he's taking the risk now, like he said, because so he can get these highlights and get these knockouts. But yeah, that's, you can't do that forever.
Keyshawn Davis is also in action. I love when Top Rank does this. They'll put Shakur, they'll put Keyshawn Davis, they'll put Jared Anderson on the same card. I've done this numerous times. Find Anthony Yidgett, who most famously got knocked out by Rolly Romero. I expect Keyshawn to get another highlight reel stoppage. He's been chirping at Frank Martin over in the PVC. I feel like that's like the next fight. They're all, you know, it's always like, it's like a cycle. Pac met me with a Pacquiao, turned into the four baby kings, and haven't really seen them fight too much. And Spence Crawford came around and Virgil Ortiz versus Boots. I see Keyshawn Davis and Frank Martin using each other's names for clout, as the kids say. Not mad about it. Keyshawn is on a rocket ship, I feel like, as well, with that, all that Olympic success. Really like this kid. I met him a few times. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Calls himself the businessman.
Yeah, great kid. Him and his brother is really, really, really good guys. Kelvin super Davis. Talented. Yeah, super, super talented. I'm very high. I'm very bullish on Keyshawn Davis, too. But I want to see him develop more. This is a good step up fight with Yidgit. He's been in with some former world champions and he's okay, you know, but it's a good step up fight for Keyshawn.
Nice. That's a good one. That's the ESPN over on the DAZN undercard. MJ Akhmadaliya, remember him? This guy has two belts at 122. He was supposed to be fighting Fulton. That was the fight everyone wanted to see, but hand injury. Only has fought three times since February 2020 when he beat Danny Roman, fighting Marlon Topalis, who's a former champ, got a deliberate style. Topalis, Akhmadaliya was really good, but coming off a crazy layoff. I'd like to see Akhmadaliya active because he can potentially get the winner of Fulton in a way.
He's a stud. I'm a big fan. He's fun to watch. He can really fight. I hope that hand is good. If that hand's good, I see him getting the stoppage. If that hand's still an issue, which we know hands can be tricky, you know, it'll probably go to decision. But yeah, I think he wins this fight straight away. I mean, I think he's a really, really good fighter.
Is this on DraftKings? Let's see. And Akhmadaliya, no, I've seen other names. There's so many fights on DraftKings because there's so many fights this weekend. Gabriella Fundora, Sebastian's sister's fighting this weekend too.
I heard she's good. I haven't seen her yet.
No, she's good, man. She's tall too. Shocker.
Jeez, like, that's funny how they work.
There's a bunch of Fundoras. You know their story, right? Like his dad built him a ring in their backyard. They live in Coachella. And not only did they build a ring in their backyard, they built little like houses for sparring partners to stay on the premises. It's unreal, man. And a lot of times, like, I'm like, dude, do you ever see the guys just leaving? Like in the middle of the night, he goes, yes. Because we beat them up and then we wake up the next day and they're no longer in their little houses we built for them.
It's like human cockfighting. Like, go back into your barn.
Go back to your when you told me that, I was like, that is wild. Like, I've seen the ring too. It's on social media. It's so cool. Like, my dad built a wiffle ball field in my backyard. The Fundoras built a ring and they just breed champions.
Different strokes for different folks. When you're on Long Island, you build a wiffle ball. When you're Mexican, you build a boxing ring.
It's an awesome thing, man. But yeah, she's fighting. How about this? Is a weird fight. Gabriel Mastre. Remember him? For the guy that was given a gift win over Michael Fox. One of the most blatant cases of corruption in the history of boxing. I was fighting Devin Alexander.
Oh, no.
Good gracious.
And what are we
doing? What are we doing?
47?
What?
47 or 54?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I didn't do any research on this one.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve any.
Devin Alexander. If you follow him on Twitter, he's got some of the craziest takes out there. And has been around for a long, long time.
Long time.
He fought in 2021 against Luke Santamaria, lost the unanimous decision. Fought Avin Redcatch, got knocked out. Fought Andre Berto, split decision loss. Drew against Victor Ortiz. Hasn't won since 2017. Doesn't say.
6 years ago.
It's not. Was. Doesn't say. It's not even on BoxRec. Someone else's fight is a heavyweight fighting this weekend too. That I was shocked to see. Chris Arreola.
Chris Arreola was really good at one point.
He was really awesome, good. Man. I mean, that fight with Konaki was freaking amazing. That broke awesome. All sorts of heavyweight records at CompuBox. I was working that fight with my dad, and it was like some of the most fun I've ever had working a CompuBox fight ringside, because they were throwing insane punches. Crab was really into it because it's Adam Konaki in Brooklyn, and like, my dad's a freak. Obviously, he's been working CompuBox for 40 years. He, like, figured out in the fifth round, like, all right, we're entering, like, record territory. So we have 1 minute in between rounds, and he's pulling up the record book. He's pulling up the record book. He's getting stats ready. He's telling the truck, it was like I was in awe. I was like watching this guy just he was cooking. Bob Kenobi. Shout out Bob Kenobi, watches every show. That was an awesome one. More like it's not the most memorable fight, but to me, I had so much fun working that one. That was a really fun fight.
That was an awesome fight. I was in camp with Daniel Jacobs. I don't remember who we were training for, but I was watching with Andre Rozier, and he was like screaming at the TV. It was fun for us too. We had a fun watch of that fight as well.
It was Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but yeah, Ariola was in there with some. He was with Klitschko and Fort Wilder,
Andy Ruiz too, right?
Andy Ruiz, yeah.
He dropped Andy Ruiz.
Yeah, so that's the weekend. Oh, Raymond Ford, Jesse Maldonado, really good one.
Good one. Don't forget
Raymond
that one.
Ford is like, I know Matchroom has a lot of big plans for Raymond Ford. Camden, New Jersey guy. What do you call Richard Medina a few fights back where some thought that he lost. Wasn't the greatest performance. Wasn't the best performance for him.
He's been hot and cold since he started. And but he looked fantastic in his last fight on the undercard of Love and Spark. He looked fantastic, scoring a late round knockout, but was like boxing really well prior to that. But this is interesting, man. I mean, if the kid's for real, well, I'll put it this way: if he beat Jesse Maglano, if the kid is for real, and it certainly seems like he is. And you know, Jesse was a fantastic fighter at one point.
Yeah,
I don't know how much is left in the tank. You know, he's been inactive. He hasn't had really any good wins recently. But yeah, this is an interesting crossroads fight.
He's 31 years old, Magdaleno, former champ.
But 31 for those, you know, smaller weights is, and also he's up a few weight classes. So
that's what I love, these types of fights where it's like, all right, man, you know, you're a young fighter with a lot of promise and you haven't exactly shown it yet. We'll put you in there with a grizzled vet and see what happens.
Put up or shut up.
Love that.
Put up or shut up. Let's
go. I love it. So, all right. So, some good fights this weekend all over the globe, all over the platforms. Boxing fans, once again, have to like choose which one they want to watch. I figure, the DAZN, I think DAZN card's the best card, top to bottom. The best fighter is Stevenson fighting on ESPN. Definitely. And then Fundora is like, he's always worth watching. So it's a little something for everyone this weekend. So what's the travel plans? When are you leaving for San Antonio?
I'm leaving Friday morning. Get there Friday afternoon. Got some meetings that night. Fight day on Saturday.
Do the Riverwalk?
And Riverwalk is Saturday morning. I mean, we're doing a 5K.
Is that the Eddie Hearn 5K?
Yeah, the 5K is Saturday morning.
Can you dust him? And can you, like, leave him in the dust?
Yeah.
Obviously, you can, but do it.
I am, yeah.
I figured, like, when he puts these together, he, like, leads it, the charge, like he's Rocky or something.
Nah, dude, it's a race.
It is a race.
Yeah, I'm not jogging.
I'll finish last if I did that. Anyway.
Hopefully it's on the Riverwalk. That'd be cool.
So you're doing Before the Bell with Shackle?
Yep. Me and the homie.
Shackle is killing it, man. He is part of the John Boy Media family. He's got a podcast with David Cohn. He's now the host of the post-game shows on the Yankees Radio Network. He's next in line to take over for John Sterling, who's a legend here in New York. He's calling fights for DAZN. That's a good team. You and Shackle is a strong team. So I encourage everyone to watch Before the Bell on YouTube, the Matchroom YouTube page. Those were fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Justin's awesome. I love working with him. He's super prepared. He gets better every single time. Super professional guy. He's going places. He's already places, but he's going even higher.
Yeah, love the Shaq, man. I played blitzball with him. Blitzball battle one. We didn't win a single game, but we had fun. Let's call it. Let's throw the towel in on this podcast. Appreciate you taking the time to tune in, everybody. This was a fun one. As always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Goodbye.